Brenda, thank you so much. I know this is kind of your thing and your vision each year. And we just love you, and we appreciate your wanting to do this and working so hard with the young people to do that. Thank you. So let's give her a hand. Because we just thank her for doing that. And then the poems and that y'all read, guys, that was very, very good. And Jana and Caitlin, y'all, that was just wonderful. Y'all going to have to do that a whole lot. Beautiful, beautiful song, and so good. We're glad that you did it for us. It's good to see all of you all here. All of you, we have some visitors, and we have some who have been here some in the past. We're glad that you're here, and I want to thank all of you for coming today to this special appreciation service. I might take 5 minutes, or my 5 minutes, they run longer, don't they? 10 minutes. Want to get out of here by noon. But if you have your Bible, take it and turn to Mark. We've been preaching through the book of Mark ever since January the 1st. And we still are in Mark. We're just about through. We're in chapter 16 of the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel according to Mark. It's not about him. It's about Jesus. But in chapter 16, and it just so happens that today is the story about the resurrection. In Mark chapter 16, verse 1, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning of the first day of the week, they came unto the grave at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll away the stone for us from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw the stone was already rolled away, because it was real big and great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were amazed. And he said unto them, Don't be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Look at the place. Behold where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter," make sure you tell Simon Peter, "that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said before." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and they were amazed. Neither said they anything to anybody, for they were afraid. I've been thinking about that verse. It says that the ladies, when they ran from the tomb, the empty tomb, it says they didn't say anything. Now, I realize you probably know that if you read the account in Matthew, Matthew understood it, remembered it a little bit differently. He said they went out and told all these people. If you read Luke, it says that they went out and told all these people. And if you read John's account, but we're not talking about Matthew and Luke and John's account. We've been studying Mark. And we believe that Mark was the first gospel ever written, and the others were written after that. Now, we don't understand why Mark didn't tell all of that, but we take it that he told the truth. He was led by the Holy Spirit when he wrote this down. And it says they were afraid to say anything. They were just too afraid. I've thought about that through the years, and you probably have too. Why did they keep quiet? Why, you would have thought that they would have run out there and began shouting it everywhere. He is not here. He is not here. He is alive. But Mark says they went out and they didn't say anything. Sometimes things happen in our lives that leave us speechless. Today's one of those times, just about. You all just leave me speechless. Were they faint-hearted? Some people say, well, they were. They were faint-hearted. Was it just awe? I stand in awe. They didn't know what to think about all that. The grave was empty. The stone had been rolled away. Jesus was not there as they thought he would be. Were they just awed by it? Have you ever been awed by it? Most of you would say, I've been awed by something. Let's see, Samantha got a deer the other Sunday morning. I don't know whether you were awed by that deer that you shot or not. And Kenzie back there behind you, you got one this morning, right? I'm impressed. Those girls get deer on Sunday morning and come to church after that. Now, some people take that as an excuse to just stay away all day. I asked him, Kenzie, if she got it all dressed out, and Austin's help, I guess. They did all of that. Were you all awed by that? You may have been. I would have been, for sure. That's something else. Was it just a temporary silence? You know, they got over it, and they opened up and began to talk. So even though they didn't say anything then, it may have been a temporary silence. I've had those times, temporary silence, and then just let it out. Now, all the prophets in the Old Testament, you read about them, and when they were called, when God spoke to them, most of them were speechless. Isaiah said in chapter 6 of Isaiah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said, I was speechless. Someone said to me several years ago, everybody talks about seeing Jesus and just going out and telling everybody and being so excited. But he said, when I really had my encounter with the living Christ, I couldn't say anything. I fell on my knees. I felt so unworthy. Well, some of us have had that experience. There are all kinds of experiences. I enjoyed the way, who came up with the idea of baptizing that doll? I've heard of young people baptizing cats, trying to, and dogs, and all that kind of thing. That was kind of cute. That was neat. Y'all came up with that idea. And some of you all may have gotten baptized whenever you did. And you may have come up out of that water speechless. I really hope more and more people would do that. Because this is an awesome moment of obedience to Christ. I mean, to come up out of the water and, you know, sure, some shout hallelujah and praise God. That's a wonderful thing. But sometimes we're left speechless, are we not? The prophets, when they were called, all of them really couldn't really say anything. They were overcome with emotion. Throughout the Bible, when Jesus appeared to people in Mark and when he talked to them, they responded with fear. Read all the passages we've been studying the last few months in chapter 4 and 5 and 6 and 9 and 10. Whenever they had an encounter with Christ, they were speechless. Now, this was after the resurrection. You know, I can't answer all the questions as to why Mark says they left there and spoke not a mumbling word. I guess I want to make it personal. Why are you speechless? Why sometimes am I speechless? When I know I should say something for Jesus, I keep quiet. Why do I do that? Well, usually it's fear. Some people say, well, I just don't know what to say. And sometimes that's right. You don't know what to say. But I suspect more often than not, it's actually fear. You know what to say. You just are afraid to say it. Of course, down at Ashdown Friday night at the football game, all of Arkansas was looking at Ashdown. Now, some of Arkansas was looking at at Derrick's in Mineral Springs, weren't they? And seeing the game here. Did y'all have a prayer before the game like you always do? Friday night, one of the preachers said a prayer. I know the other night I said a prayer before the ball game. I said a prayer knowing that it was illegal and I shouldn't be doing it. But our town still does it, and I'm glad they do it. And so I went and prayed, but I really knew better, because I know you're not supposed to do that. Well, Ashdown, you know, they always had the preachers to pray before the games. Well, that group up there that says we need freedom from all religion, they said, we heard about what you all are doing and the band directors having prayer, so we've heard about all that. So we don't want to hear of you all having somebody to lead in a prayer anymore. And you better not, because if you do, we're going to punish you bad. Well, I know they said that to us at Nashville. And so they started letting the students lead the prayer. That's not legal either, of course, they say. But at least at Nashville, the preachers, we had to quit. But the students led the prayer. I thought, that's all right. I'd rather the kids lead the prayer than me to pray anyway. I think that's even better. I wouldn't mind them doing it here. That's good. But Friday night, everybody was looking at Ashdown. Are they going to have prayer? Will they defy that order not to do that? Will they defy them not? Well, let's see. They did have a... We were at the football game in Texas High watching our granddaughter in the band. They had a moment of silence before we started the game. That was all right. Be a moment of silence. And I think that whatever Ashdown did, I really don't know all that they did Friday night. I do know a preacher didn't pray like he usually did. And it came out in the paper yesterday, the great big picture on the front. This fits right into my sermon today, about not being speechless and standing up for what you believe in. But boy, the Texarkana Gazette had that big picture on the front. Did y'all see that? And another big article on page 6A about prayer. They all went out on the field and they knelt down and they all prayed, and others from the stands came down and they all gathered around. And they made the front page of the newspaper. All those players from both teams out there in a circle of prayer. Many of them had their t-shirts on that said, I pray, I pray, I pray. What were they doing? They were not speechless. They stood up and they said, all right, no one can keep us from praying. And of course they can't. You can pray silently by yourself, get your little group to pray, and all of that sort of thing. Anywhere, somebody said, and the preacher in Ashdown said, well, they can't keep prayer out of the school, and as long as they give exams, there will always be prayer in the school. Well, we've always joked about that for years, and that's true. We need not to be speechless. I admire those kids, and you all would have done the same thing, I know. And probably the day will come, if they keep on having the preachers to pray, that group's going to find out about Derek's and they're going to lay down the law. They say that we can't do it here. And you'll have to make a decision, you administrators and all, about what you're going to do about that. When I was called to preach, I felt strongly that call. It was in 1960. That's been 55 years ago. I was a real shy young man. Everybody who talks to me, and back then they couldn't believe that I actually could actually feel I was called to preach. I was very shy. And when the Lord called me, I just knew I had to do it. And so I just started doing it. And I don't really know how I was able to do that. I don't know exactly how that I determined so strongly that that's what he was calling me to do. But I do know, ever since 1960, there in March, I do not remember ever doubting that I was called. Now, some people do. They feel their call, and then they doubt it, and then they make assurance again, and then they all kinds of things. But I do not remember ever thinking, He hasn't called me to preach. I guess I've just been fortunate that way. So that all these years, sometimes I've been quiet when I should have spoken. Sometimes I've been too shy when I should not have been. Sometimes even now, here at Derek's, there are times I need to say things to people, but I don't. And then I get real embarrassed and feel real guilty. Anybody else here identify with that? I know you do. I know you do. Probably a whole bunch of you would say, Brother Dave, I understand. I understand. There were times this week when I should have said something to someone about Jesus and shared the good news with them, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Lesson, most important lesson, go ahead even when you're afraid. When you're so scared you don't know whether you're going to be able to do it or not, go ahead and tell the good news, because everybody needs to know about Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of being here in Derek's and being a pastor of this church, and I thank you for these almost 4 years that we've been here. I pray, Father, that you'll help us in the days to come, me and all of our flock here, that we will take a stand and that we'll be strong, whether it's on the school ground or the church ground or out there where we work, in the place of business, wherever it may be. Help us to always speak for you and never be ashamed. In Jesus' name, amen.